You are listening to an edited version of Get Radio's Business Brunch, which airs every Sunday at 11 a.m. on DAB Digital Radio across Oxfordshire and online at getradio.co.uk. For copyright reasons, we cannot play the songs mentioned in the show. But for more info and Business Brunch related content, head over to getradio.co.uk.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. The friendly, no-pressure networking group for Oxfordshire's business people. Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Good morning, this is Get Radio. Welcome to the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson, former founder of Thompson & Terry Recruitment. Every week during this show, I'm really fortunate to be able to share the stories, the expertise and the knowledge of business leaders large and small with you, the listener. And on this week's show, we're talking about a topic that you, the listener, have requested, which is AI for business. And to do that, we're joined by two local experts. We're joined by Marnie Wills of Business with AI Strategists and Harry Lang of the Oxford AI School. This is the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson. I look forward to welcoming our two experts after this. Get Radio. Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, today we're talking all about AI for business, which I know is a topic that impacts so many businesses across Oxfordshire, and I'm sure beyond, but we only talk about Oxfordshire, don't we? So let's start by introducing our two experts. So Marnie, for those who don't know you, please introduce yourself and indeed your business.
Sure. So I'm Marnie. I am an AI educator and business strategist. I have been consulting now for almost 18 months, helping SMEs and even founders, entrepreneurs, adopt and implement AI ethically, strategically, and safely. Pre-AI world, I had a franchise business and a health and fitness business. So I've been an entrepreneur now for 14 years and love every minute of it.
Amazing. And second up, Harry, for those who don't know you and don't know the Oxford AI School, introduce yourself.
Yeah, thanks very much, Ben. I'm Harry Lang. I was founder of the Oxford AI School, only recently launched the business to support SMEs and small businesses. So doctors, farmers, lawyers, business owners across Oxfordshire and the surrounding area. Basically with basic AI, I identify that there is a massive gap between some of the things spoken about with AI agents, Claude Code and these very advanced technologies. And actually the very simple steps of just implementing AI in the workplace at a basic level. So I've designed a series of modules which are meant to be affordable and practical and fun to get small businesses using AI so they can be more efficient and more productive.
Amazing, amazing. Harry, I'm going to pick on you first, but don't worry, Marnie, you're not off the hook. As with all of our guests, you have chosen a song for our listeners this morning. What's your song choice and why have you picked it?
I was desperately trying to come up with some sort of aural metaphor for AI in my song choices, and I got a litany of terrible tunes as a result. So I thought show's going out on Sunday morning in the summer. No better tune than Dakota by the Stereophonics.
Oxfordshire Station, Get Radio.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Following that great song chosen by Harry, we've heard from Harry and Marnie about their AI businesses. And today we're talking about exactly that. We're talking about AI for business. So let's start the roundtable discussion, if that's okay. And I'm going to start with you, Marnie. And I appreciate this is quite a big question. So Harry, you may want to jump in as well. But what is AI for business? What are some of the options that businesses could consider?
Well, I think the bigger question is, we're now AI for life. It's not just business. Our mindset and our behavior around this artificial intelligence has changed. Our mindset is, wow, we've got this artificial intelligence that can help us do something. Whether that is, if I think about life, I think, you know, help me plan our summer holidays. You know, if I think about help plan our school meals, you know, whether it be business, it could be around helping me strategize for a new business product or service, or maybe even a new hire. Like, it's changing. It's that mindset of, we actually now have an artificial intelligence that is our thought partner, our strategic thinker, you know, just that extra help that we've got. And the the behavior changes. We're no longer going to Google. You know, we're no longer just scrolling on social media. We're going to likely ChatGPT because that's got 9 billion users a day. So, you know, the behavior changes there. But we've seen this behavior change as well before when, you know, we used to email instead of call, and then we used to DM somebody on socials, you know. So we've seen the behavior change. So actually, your original question, what is AI for business? It is about now using artificial intelligence as a second brain in almost everything we do. And Harry mentioned, you know, breaking it down to really basic. In Microsoft, they've coined something called Work IQ, which is basically having Copilot integrated into everything that you can use. And if you're a Google Workspace user for business, they've coined it personal intelligence. So having a generative AI there to assist you and have a knowledge base and context that can help you with almost anything. So that's what I think AI for business is.
No, totally. And Harry, just moving on to you. I think one of the elephants that in the room that we hear quite regularly is there will always be, when something's new, there will always be early adopters. There will always be people that have the business brain and know that we need to use this, and there's a real competitive advantage. But there will be that percentage. You say, I don't want to use AI. I want human. Is there an option for businesses not to use AI? Is that still an option?
Of course. I mean, everyone's got an option to run their business. That's their prerogative. However, I'm fairly firmly in the camp of if you aren't using AI and all your competitors are, and they're doing things faster and quicker and better, it doesn't take a rocket science to guess where your customers are going to end up. If they're going to get a cheaper product faster from somebody else, they'll probably choose to go with them. So I'd say it's kind of inevitable that we're in the age of AI, like Marnie said. This is the direction of travel for everyone. At the same time, with any new technology like this, everyone gets hugely excited and it's all this big noise about, it's amazing, it's incredible. And this technology with AI can do a huge amount of stuff that most people don't quite realize it's capable of doing. It can't do everything. It isn't perfect. It can hallucinate. It's only as good as the person doing the inputting. So understanding prompt engineering, context management, which of the LLM or the large language models are good for which different tasks, that's kind of critical. And that's, I imagine, why Marnie and I are both set up the businesses we have. Just explaining these very clever tools and how to use them better, that's the stepping stone. And actually, it's a very small barrier to entry. You just need to know these few things and practice them, and you can be engaging with AI. And trust me, it will improve everyone's working life significantly. And I position it as doing all the boring stuff. All business owners will have the boring, repetitive tasks they have to do week in, week out. And it takes time and it costs money and they don't enjoy it. That's where AI really comes to the fore, because it does the boring tasks incredibly well. Not only that, but it learns alongside you. The more you work with your AI, the better it gets. So I'd say everyone should be engaging with it at some level, lest they be left behind. Nobody should be scared of it as a new technology, because it's so intuitive. You don't need to know how to code to use it. And it's going to get better and better and better, both with you and in the technology that is coming out every week. So it's very exciting. It shouldn't be scary. And everyone should at least have a go at engaging with it.
No, totally. And what's your take on that, Marnie?
Yeah, 100% agree. What I would say, though, is I think real leaders and thought leaders in businesses, especially here in Oxfordshire, we should really think next level. It's AI for us is not just about productivity and getting things done quicker. Yes, that is happening and that should happen, but actually we need to prepare ourselves for 2027 and beyond. And that is really thinking about how is your market changing, which means how are us humans now consuming information, buying, communicating, and it's all going to be through AI, whether we like it or not. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be a human in the loop, and there always should be. But the first step is, how is the market changing and how quickly is it? But the second thing is, what can you now create? What new problems can you solve? Because all good businesses are created by solving a problem. I mean, you know, Harry, Oxford AI School, like, you know, it's solving a problem. People need to learn about AI. Like, you know, business with AI strategist, I'm solving a problem. I'm going in and implementing an AI strategy for business adoption. So, like, it's always solving a problem. And there's some stats out there that, you know, 64% of Gen Alpha, Ben, which I know, you know, I don't know if your children are there, 20, 2010 to 2023, although you've just had little ones just recently, but, you know, Gen
One
Alpha,
just makes it.
Okay, great. So Gen Alpha, 64% of their jobs don't currently exist yet, which means, guess what? The leaders in Oxfordshire businesses now, we need to be creating those new jobs that are out there and those new products and those new services and those new industries. So for me, my little push on this is, please don't just think about AI as productivity and, you know, doing things quickly. Please think next level around strategy of the industry, market, what's coming, what can you create? Because we can, as Harry literally just said, we can literally do anything with generative AI if we let our imagination, you know, think outside the box a little bit.
Mm-hmm. You've both made some really, really interesting points there. If I go back to my former business, which I've recently exited, Thompson and Terry Recruitment, within that business, when AI became a thing, in inverted commas, non-technical term for it, there was a lot of fear in terms of AI's taking our jobs. AI isn't taking our jobs. AI is making adopters of AI more employable, more efficient, bigger thinking. And actually, we know that it will just be new jobs. If we go back 100 years, there was no such thing as computers. There was no such thing as cars 200 years ago. And actually, those jobs, of course, didn't exist. But there will be new ones too, which is really, really interesting. Harry, I'm keen to talk about the entry point, if that's okay. So if we just take back all the layers. So if somebody's listening and thinking, do you know what, I don't use AI, I guess my first thing is they probably are in some way without knowing it. But what are some of the first steps to consider to guess put the first toe into that journey?
And the good news is for anyone who's literally starting out from scratch is you don't have to put your hand in your pocket. All these companies are doing a desperate land grab to try and get the attention and the eyeballs of everyone around the world. So they've got very significant free levels. So whether it's ChatGPT on your phone or your laptop, Claude via Anthropic, Gemini from Google, or Copilot via Microsoft, they've all got very, very good free levels. Now, with the free levels, just a note of warning, and Marnie sort of coined the security and data piece earlier on, you don't get anything for free in this world, literally. And if you're enjoying something and it's digital and it's useful and it's free, then you're probably the product. So just be aware that it's using your information and your searches to train itself for future searches and future prompt responses. If you just want to learn what you're doing, get on the free level, have a play around. That'll get you to a certain degree. There's plenty of videos on YouTube and TikTok that'll give you some hints and tips about prompt engineering. You can learn to a great extent via free resources. Now, it would be pretty foolish of me not to name check for Marnie and myself the fact that if you want to do that exercise a bit faster and a bit more thoroughly, people like ourselves are literally waiting in the wings to take you on that journey in a bit more practical and a bit more structured way. But I think it's important to note that if you wanted to just get on board and get on the AI bus, it's free. Don't spend any money on platform token costs, etc. Have a play around with it. Try and inform that via watching some videos. And if you do want to do it faster and better, obviously speak to a professional who'll be able to get you to the next levels faster.
No, really, really good. Amani, just from a security point of view, so very much focused on this kind of protecting our data. Where can we use free, and where should we be paying? What should and shouldn't we be putting into AI from a business data protection standpoint?
Yeah, well, I think the first thing to do is choose your AI ecosystem. And I think if you're a Microsoft user, you're jumping straight into Copilot because it's already inside your enterprise level Word, email, you know, Teams, it's already there. And the basic Copilot inside your Microsoft license is good enough, definitely. And again, you know, that concept of Work IQ, you've got it already in there. So your data is already secure. If you're a Gemini, if you're a Google Workspace, it's the same Gemini. It's already in your workspace. And again, it's free. It's part of what you already use. So definitely start there. And I always recommend businesses to upskill their individuals. So the more capable the human in the business, the more capacity the business has. And you start really basic with Copilot or Gemini as the basic. When you're starting to think about different workflows and connecting some of your softwares, because softwares can now talk to each other and extract information from different places, that's when you definitely need a paid version. And you know, many businesses are using enterprise level of Claude or ChatGPT. I do a lot of training also on Perplexity. And I think you definitely want a business account for that. And the reason you want to make sure that your employees are on a business account is that intellectual property now that you create with AI is becoming very popular recently. Something like 54% of the content that gets put out there is called hybrid data, which is where a human is created with an AI. It's hybrid. That's intellectual property of the business. If you come and work with Business with AI Strategist and you're just using your personal ChatGPT account, even if it's a paid account, you own that intellectual property. You own that hybrid data. But as a business, I need to own that hybrid data. So you really need to be inside a business account that I am using or under a business email address, really. So that's what I would say about data and IP and paying for security. Something really, I believe, is really important is I actually keep on the ability of all of my large language models that I use, the ability to have the AI train on my data. Now, it's not sharing my data around. It's still in my cloud. Unless it gets hacked, it's not sharing. However, the way that I'm communicating with AI, I want it to learn off that. Because guess what? My 4 and 8-year-old, they're going to have an AI tutor. They're going to have AI agents when they're older. And I want them to learn now how, as a human, I'm learning. And if I think back to how I was using ChatGPT back in 2022 when it first came out, it's so different to how I'm using it now. And the reason for that is because it is actually learning off humans. So my kind of take to businesses is unless you're putting information in there that you don't want on the front page of the Sun, it's just general generic information anyway. Keep the toggle on, in my opinion. But if you're more sensitive data, you know, your GDPR, use it inside your ecosystem, whether that's Copilot or Gemini. So that's my take on it.
No, amazing. No, really, really good detailed answer there. Thank you. And thank you to both of you. Marnie, I hope you're feeling pressure now. And AI may be able to help you, but Harry set a very high song choice bar. Can you match it? What is your song choice and why have you picked it?
Oh my God, absolutely. It's a no-brainer. It's definitely Bon Jovi's Living on a Prayer because it's my karaoke song.
Interviewing Oxfordshire's business leaders. This is the Business Brunch Podcast. Sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. Build relationships with the ultimate goal of growing your business. obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, today we're talking all about the world of AI for business. And to do that, we're joined by two absolute experts, Marnie Wills of Business with AI Strategist and Harry Lang of the Oxford AI School. And they both also have good music choices, which we didn't know about them before the show. So Harry, I'm keen to come across to, I guess, really in some ways, the name of your business, really, and really kind of talk about school and learning. How much do we need to train ourselves and our teams, which I think was touched on by Marnie before the break? What level of learning do we need to be giving in business before we run with it and before we go high level and focus on strategy or use AI in day to day? What does that learning curve look like?
Remember, I mean, the learning curve is perhaps perceived by some as steep because anything you don't know or don't understand and it's new technology, some people think it's, you know, there's a gremlin. It's head in the sand time. It's a bit scary. With AI, it's so intuitively designed. It's very, very easy. You know, everyone from a 3-year-old to a grandparent could step in and amaze themselves at what they can do, even if it's making silly videos up, which I do with my daughter all the time over breakfast, all the way through to huge data streams and like data analysis of significant parts of a business strategy. So basically, anyone can step in at any time. The learning curve isn't too steep. It isn't going anywhere. This is, as Marnie said, this is part of our future. It's evolving incredibly fast, but inherently, AI as a tool, as a device, as a partner to a business, in some guise, is always going to be there from now on until general AI comes out in the future and we all bow to our robot overlords. In the meantime, it's a very useful tool that improves greatly every single week. So my encouragement would be, the best time to start practicing AI was yesterday. The second best time is today. Get on board the bus, enjoy it, have fun with it, play with it. Get some formal learning. If it's something you feel should be useful to your business, if it's something you feel you're perhaps behind on, there's plenty of resources, including Marnie and myself, out there who can help you. But even if you don't want to do that, start playing with it, start using it. Learn through your mistakes, like all good lessons. You know, my first few documents that I made, I had some howlers in there because initially I thought it wasn't good enough to do X piece of work. And then I realized it was. Then I overstretched it and tried to make it do something way beyond its means. And we're talking 2 years ago now. And I sort of learned through error. Do sense check your work. It isn't perfect, like I said earlier on. It can hallucinate data points sometimes. It wants to please you. It's weird that AI, all of the AIs are inherently sort of kowtowing to the needs of you as the client. And it'll say, oh, look at that, Harry. It's an amazing piece of work. We absolutely love it. Well done, you. And you're sitting there patting yourself on the back because your laptop said, well done. Don't necessarily take that as a written. Most of the time with AI outputs, it's not your first output that's the best one. You'll interrogate, you'll go back and forward. Get it to ask you questions, which is one of my favorite devices. Get it to interview you about the problem at hand. And then 2, 3, 4 iterations later, then the output will be really, really good. And then you'll be happy to publish it or use it or send it to a client. All of this takes is a bit of an open mind, a bit of enthusiasm. It is fun. You know, if you're bored of doing boring outputs, get it to craft some social media images, because you'd be amazed at how good and how fun and how interesting and how random some of the outputs can be. And by playing with it, you'll get better at it, which is where, as Marnie said, the kids who will be engaged with this in the same way that we all used Google from our teenage years onwards, this is their first port of call, and they're crafting proper movies using AI, and they're really, really good. And it's incredible. So just play with it, get into it, enjoy it. And you'll very rapidly find that it's very useful, but with a caveat that it has some limitations.
Amazing. No, really, really good. And can we talk about bots, please, Marnie? How do you go about building bots? And should you have a different bot to be a PA, to be a marketing person, to be a X, or do you just need one? What's that process of thinking about AI bots?
Okay, well, here's the thing. I hate the word bot, so I'm going to crush it right there and say there are different levels of generative AI. Mm. We start with the conversational level, which I call I do an analogy of a GP. A consultant and a surgeon. So if you think about, you're in ChatGPT and you're generally chatting, or in Copilot you're generally chatting, you're chatting to a GP. It's got really good general knowledge, it's got some memory of you, and it can be really good. But guess what? When you're talking to that conversational AI, that GP, you have to give it some context, which is my human in the loop framework that I like to use. That 20% at the beginning, that is you giving it some context or domain expertise, your knowledge, your experience, and your perspective. I go in with a knee injury and I'm like to the GP, this is how I did it, and it's interviewing me and asking me questions exactly like Harry said, get it to interview you. So that's a conversational AI. Then the next level is more trained AI, whether you use that as projects or in Copilot, they call it agents, even though it's not agentic, but they call it agents. In Claude, it's projects. In Gemini, it's gems. You give it a second brain, you give it knowledge base, and you give it custom instructions. So for me, that's like going to a consultant. An orthopedic knee surgeon is a consultant that's going to give you extra information. And actually, I say to all my clients, you should have, each individual in your business should have at least 5 consultant level AIs that they're working with. And that's where I think you talked about in your bots, whether that be a marketing, a content repurpose, whether that be a research agent. A really good example I did for a HR company is we created an agent on Copilot that links to ACAS, which is all the legal information. So when a client has a question, they go straight to their ACAS agent, ask the question, it goes and searches the ACAS site. Nice. And then gives them the answer. So that's an example of using, that consultant level, that next level trained AI. And then where people don't really understand yet is what an agent is. Now, an agent has the ability to actually execute a task for you, you know, execute a workflow. That's a surgeon. I'm not going to go to a GP to have them cut open my knee. You know, like, it's got to be actually do the surgery. So that you can use agents inside your large language model. Now they can connect to softwares without getting too technical. There's something called an MCP, so you can connect and it can extract information, but it's actually executing for you. Is it now vibe coding you a PowerPoint now, which is via HTML? I hate to break it to anyone, but PowerPoints are now dead. You know, we're working with an AI that can create you almost a website instead of a PowerPoint. You know, is it able to then create you a dashboard where you can see all your analytics? You know, really simple way to use an agent inside is anyone who loves spreadsheets, go to the Copilot or the Gemini little icon and just say, you know, create me a new tab that's able to calculate XYZ, and all of a sudden it's going to actually execute the task for you. It's going to go in, it's going to create the tab, it's going to do the formulas and do it. That is agentic, where it's gone and actually executed a task. It's no longer conversational, back and forth. And obviously agents are a minefield, because you can have agents do 101 different things. It can have an automation in there, it can connect software and execute, it can do so many different things. But the concept of agent mode inside your large language model is it can actually execute tasks for you now. And that is definitely the difference. And, you know, without scaremongering a little bit, we will all within the next 12 to 18 months have, you know, at least 5 to 10 agents individually built that we build ourselves, because that's where we're going to need to get to. So if you haven't yet started that journey of learning AI agents, please jump on the bandwagon.
No, amazing. They're really, really good. And Harry, one of the things that maybe your answer may be how long is a piece of string, but how do you define what you can do in your business with AI and what you can't do? Like, what are some of the things to consider? What tasks do you want to give to AI and what tasks don't you want to give to AI? And I appreciate there probably isn't a one size fits all answer there.
Yeah, they're totally right. There's never going to be a one size fits all. It depends on your appetite, your enthusiasm, the type of business you run, the type of data you have as well. You know, a lot of lawyers I speak to, there's certain levels of data that they really don't want anywhere near the AI. They want to anonymize it first at the very least. I think the answer is it can effectively be deployed in some guise for almost anything. In fact, I probably struggle to come up with a use case or a piece of work outside of manual labor that it's not able to help in some guise. There's some tasks and some roles that every single task could be deployed using your AI. And like Marnie said, once you get beyond the sort of basic chat level and you start getting into the likes of Claude Projects, I love Claude Projects because it's kind of the halfway house. It does some very, very clever, very specific stuff, leaning into context. So it's basically can be more accurate and more specific to your business without taking you all the way into Claude code and building agents and the sort of more technical domains. I think most small businesses getting to that Claude Projects or equivalent Gemini or Copilot stage, you probably have something beyond 80% of your tasks that could be facilitated or improved or done in higher volume, leaning into the AI tools. So yeah, I wouldn't be able to give a figure on it. And there will be some people out there that go, you know, it's not for me, I'm a bit reticent about this. And that's absolutely fine. You know, they're still running their own business, probably able to run it successfully. I would just counsel them and say, it could be easier, quicker, better, faster, in higher volume with this. So why wouldn't you? No, it's a why wouldn't you question rather than a sort of more forceful question. But yeah, like I said, and it's improving over time greatly, it'll learn more about you. So the more you engage with it, the sooner you engage with it, the sooner you will get to these, you know, Kazam moments of, oh, wow, I didn't realize it could do that. I used to spend hours a week doing that and I hated it. And it's just done it in 2 minutes. And like, you know, with simple things, like building a website, like Marnie says, you know, PowerPoint, you don't need PowerPoints anymore. It'll build an HTML file. I built the first draft of my website at oxfordaischool.com in 7 minutes on a train coming back from London to Hamburg Station, and published it through Netlify, which has clawed agents in it, which you have to pay for, but small amounts. And suddenly I had a live website, and it was really good, and it was SEO optimized, and it was even optimized for AI search, which is known as Geo now. It did a way better job than I've ever been able to do building websites in the past. And I looked at it and thought, wow, this is kind of a game changer, because we used to spend £25,000 on a website. 10 years ago, you might spend £7,000 on a website. Mm. 2 years ago, it was £1,000 for a website. I spent £12 on a website, and six of that was my domain name. So in terms of capabilities, it's quite a good metaphor and analogy for how good this stuff can be in not just pumping out AI slop, as it's become known. It's pumping out decent quality work, as long as you're engaging with it, and as long as you understand how to work with it. And I think when Marnie used the analogy earlier about the doctors, which I really like, I lean on another analogy and treat it as a really, really intelligent intern. So you've got someone who's intellectually incredibly smart joining your business, and they're great. They're really bright, but they've got no idea how your business works. You need to educate them. You need to give them context. You need to brief them well. And the more you brief them, the more they learn, the better they get. And I use that thought process every time I do a prompt. I think, what does the intern need to know to do a better job here? And if you think like that, literally, it's a visual cue. Your results will be better, because you're briefing, you're educating, you're teaching, and your very, very clever intern with all the brain power in the world will then do a better job.
No, totally. No, really, really, really good. Right, let's give Get Radio a chance to see if they can match your very high bar with song choice. We'll be back in a couple of moments.
This is the Business Brunch podcast from Get Radio, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, we've had a great conversation already, so I definitely recommend heading over to the Get Radio website and listen back. So we today are talking about AI for business, and to do that, we're joined by two absolute local experts, Marnie Wills of Business with AI Strategist and Harry Lang of the Oxford AI School. So Marnie, I'm keen to really talk about... I suppose that competitive advantage. You spoke earlier in the show, as did Harry, about that real strategy. We shouldn't just be thinking about day to day. We should be thinking about strategy. So how can small businesses get such a competitive advantage against some of the big players? You know, if you are a firm of IFAs, independent, how do you compete with some of the bigger brands, or how do you lessen that gap using AI? How can you use it for strategy?
Yeah, so I think the first thing we have to think about is there's going to be a new role in business. It's going to be around an AI officer, a chief AI officer role. It might be an internal promotion. It might be somebody come in. But I think that we now, all businesses need to have an overseeing person that's in charge of AI strategy that works with the leaders in the business, the exec team, the senior leadership team, the founders, whatever, because they're the people that have the vision of the business. They're the people that have the knowledge and the experience, but they need to know the capabilities of what AI can do. And they're not the ones going and creating the agents themselves. They're the ones saying, this is where I'm going to get the ROI, or this is where our market's ready. But you need to bring somebody in that is going to know the capabilities of AI and where it can get the biggest impact within the business. So I think that's the first thing. I think the second thing is being really mindful that your two budgets are going to change. Your IT budget is going to change. Everybody is going to need access. This AI is unfortunately not going to get cheaper. And we're going to need more use. And there also is a learning curve for people using it. You know, like the amount of times my clients message me, I've run out of tokens on Claude. I have to have my lunch break now and start again at 6. And I'm like, guess what? You're probably using Opus for a Haku type. They're different models. You're using the wrong model, therefore using a lot of credits, right? So it's that education piece. So your IT budget and your learning and development budget, start to think strategically, 1-3-5 year plan around that Where are you moving that budget? Where are you using? Because this is not a one AI course on Copilot and you're ready to go. No, this is a journey. Like Harry already said, every week this AI is getting better. And it's not just about using the large language models. A lot of the softwares we've got now, they've got agents inside. Like if you're on a CRM sales like HubSpot, the agent is Breeze. If you're on Xero accounting, the agent's Jax. Like there are agents inside. So your team need to know how to use these. So that would be the second thing. And then the third thing for me is around you really, for me, please strategically think about it, not doing things the same way. We have to think, what is the new way? What is the human mindset and behavior changes that are happening that is going to allow you to be ahead of the game? So if we take recruitment, for example, what changes in human behavior are coming? Well, people are applying for jobs with AI. You know, what does the market need? They're going to need people within the business that are AI literate. How do you assess that AI literacy in an interview? What are the human skills that are going to be needed for your biz, for the business, the client, if you're recruitment, that is no longer about the skill of, you know, executing an interview, you know, because AI might do that initial bit, but it's the actual in-person bit that the human's going to need to get better at, like picking up human, communication and empathy and just, you know, the human skills that we have naturally or need to have built, and the leadership style as well. So yeah, think, for me, just try to think a little bit outside the box is that third strategy. And I know it sounds a bit like a wishy-washy strategy, but I promise you the strategic thinking of what's coming next and looking forward really does help. And sometimes we also have to look back, like look back in your industry. How did the internet change your industry? How did social media change your industry? Like look back at that and try and think about what can be replicated and how quickly you can make those changes looking forward.
No, absolutely. No, that really resonates. Amani, I'm going to give you a little bit of a plug here that I've never actually shared with anyone, or I've never shared it with you. You did an AI workshop last year, which was great. And you said something really similar in terms of challenging what AI can do. We put our business plan into AI. And I think one of the strongest things about my former business is that we had a 30-page business plan. As a team, we updated it monthly. And then we created a one pager of which we would look at that weekly as part of our weekly morning and just check that we were on plan. And we put our business plan into AI and we said, challenge us on this business plan. Challenge us on weaknesses. This is what we want to achieve. Challenge us. And some of the things that came out of that business plan, that challenge from AI, is what led us to having a award-winning business that had a good reputation but was very reliant on me, to an award-winning business with a good reputation that I exited and is thriving without me. So it's huge. Whilst it sounds very big, those sentences, it was purely about, and I had always worked with a coach, I'd always been a real student and studied and read lots of books and listened to podcasts, but actually having that AI really challenge a business plan without any agendas was a big factor to my exit from the recruitment business. I think I've mentioned that about four times in the show. In case anyone's listening, I exited my business. But anyway, let's move on. So thank you. So Harry, I'm really keen to go back to something you said before in terms of building a website quickly and costing a very, very little amount of money. What are some of the other things you've seen across your clients and across your career that businesses have done that maybe may spark something with our listeners in terms of just the sheer power of AI that can impact business for good?
Yeah, I've got a few examples. I mean, my previous life for 25 years, I was a CMO or marketing director in various digital entertainment companies. And 4 years ago, I think it was, I was working for a mobile games business. And we had a huge number of mobile app games. So mobile app games, I won't bore you with the intricacies, but basically you have to advertise them on app networks a lot. Now you pour in a huge amount of money to advertising, you get people coming to your game, you advertise in your game, and there's a margin of ad sales, blah, blah, blah. To do that well, the user acquisition, you have to create lots and lots of ads. So I had a team of 45 over in Bangalore in India, and I think we were putting out something like 200 ad creatives a week out of 45 people. It was a lot. We went into Midjourney. It was the very good design cue tool in AI at the time, alongside DALL-E, which is one of the other ones. And we went from 250 or so ad creatives to over 5,000 ad creatives a week. So the same team, the same methodology, just scaled incrementally outwards. And the reason that's important is with ad creatives in any digital media, it's all about test and learn. You put up the ads, you have them in a fight against each other. The more successful ad wins, you put your money and your investment behind that one. And that game carries going on and on and on until you get to the end of that day and you have an optimum ad. The next day you start again. 250 ad creatives to over 5,000-6,000 ad creatives a week meant we would get more winner ads, more high performers, more mega high performers, more superstar ad creatives. We'd get there sooner, which meant we were generating more revenue, which meant we were able to pull more revenue into ad creative, which meant we were able to grow the business faster. That for me is a really succinct but clear-cut example of what you can do with technology. The ad creative quality, you know, I won't pretend mobile game ads are going to win any Oscars, right? They tend to be pretty chewy. You see them on TikTok, they're purposefully very authentic and a bit clumsy. They're often sort of funny in a very silly way. There is a lot of intelligence behind those. They aren't made to look silly because people are lazy. They're made to look silly because those tend to be the highest performing ads. And we will get able to get those out as videos, as static ads, as in-game ads, in such high volume, maintaining a quality bar. And I'll admit it, improving a quality bar in some instances, because we were using the AI to generate video quality ad content. Previously, you wouldn't build a video. It would take you 4 or 5 hours for some designer to make video. It's not worth it for an ad that might fail on its first visit and then be dropped. With AI, totally worth doing. So for me, that represents, even though it was 2 years ago in some of the early days, that kind of example now is commonplace. That is the methodology. And the great thing is you've got these talented designers who are able to use their brain power and creativity in multiple campaigns at once. And then the drudge of building the actual creative design, well, that's farmed out to the AI. Their inspiration, their knowledge, their talent is being used as the puppeteer. And I think that's it's a very good representation of one part of what's feasible.
No, really, really great story. I can't believe how quickly time's gone. We've got a minute left. So in this final minute, I'm going to set you both a challenge. You've got 30 seconds each. So I'd love to leave our listeners with one top tip from each of you. It could be something we've already covered. It could be something completely new that that I've not asked you about. But if we could leave our listeners with one lasting top tip, I'm going to start with you this time, Harry. You can go first. What's your lasting top tip to leave our listeners with?
I think my top tip engaging with AI is take your time over putting the prompt in. If you just put in a prompt, like you would search in Google and say, find me the best of this or design me a picture of that, you'll have to go back and forward a few times when you interrogate it. If you invest the time in the prompt at the beginning and you put effort into context, the audience, the format, the type of output you need, you will get to your end result at a good quality level faster. So prompt well and get a result quicker.
Amazing. And last but not least, Marnie.
Oh, my top tip is get your team together once a week for 30 to 60 minutes and share how everybody is using AI. Share use cases, share context sharing, because it's going to change the way you file files. It's going to change the way you create proposals. Get everybody sharing. Make it the norm that you are pushing the boundaries in what you can do with AI as a team and as a business.
Amazing. Amazing. Two really great tips there. And thank you so much, you both, for your time and such an interesting conversation. I am literally gutted the show's over. I'd have loved to have gone for another hour. So thank you. But that is the end of the show. So my final tip is, if you are just tuning in, go and follow the two great experts. They both share great content and really knowledgeable, as you've heard. So just a reminder, we've had Marnie Wills of Business with AI Strategist and Harry Lang, the Oxford AI School, and both are very active on LinkedIn. That is the end of the show, but we are going to be back next week with some brand new guests, and we're going to be talking about supercharging careers. So a really interesting one there, and we have three great experts, including the next MD of Thompson and Terry, who joined on our graduate program and has taken over my role. So really proud of her being part of that panel. Finally, just a reminder, you can listen to this show on the radio or online every Sunday at 11 a.m. You can also listen to the podcast version, which is available via every major podcast platform and is released on the Monday morning. Or if you'd like to see my lovely guests, do look out for the video version, which goes out on the Get Radio Facebook page every Tuesday. But for now, whatever you're doing here in Oxfordshire, enjoy and maybe try and use AI, and see you next week.